Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of SDG Solo Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Jesus Christ, Our Most Precious Present. There's a little play on words there. Now, folks, before we get into this message, I'm having some phone trouble. That's why my timing might be off, my voice might be off. What I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to put a song on from Matthew West called Forgiveness, and I'm going to reconnect to Blog Talk. So just listen to the words from this song from Matthew West, and I'll be right back.
Forgiveness.
even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Let it go and be amazed. Oh, praise the Lord. I could do a message on forgiveness. It was kind of strange, folks. I logged in like normal. There's all this crackling and noise in my headset. Perhaps somebody needed to hear that message today, that message on forgiveness, you know? That's the power of God's grace operating in us, you know? When we have Him operating through us, then we can love the unlovable. We can reach the unreachable and do the impossible. But just like the Lord's Prayer says, you know, forgive us as we forgive others. So unless we do that, His mercy can't flow. But hey, that's a story for another day. Today we are looking at Jesus Christ, our most precious present. Praise the Lord, folks, and I hope you had a great Christmas. We're going to focus on Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered unto her, that's Mary, saying, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the holy thing which thou shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, Christmas truly is all about Jesus. You know, He's the Son of God, but more importantly, and this is the key to the message today, He is literally God the Son. So this holiday season, it's so very crucial that we remain grounded in this truth. And that's what I want to share with you today. You know, in the middle of all the presents and the glitz and the glitter, it's so easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. It really is. And He is the one who is our most precious present. Now, notice this word present just for a moment before we get into the message. Do I mean present as a gift? Or is the moment we're in right now together? Well, the answer is yes. I mean both. He is. Jesus Christ literally is our most precious present. The gift of this Christmas was the fact that He who lived came to earth to die so that we may die to live with Him. Present in the sense of a tangible item, a gift that we would wrap and give to another. And then, like Paul told the Colossians, He must have preeminence in our life. Not just a part of our life, not just first place in our life, but everything. He must be our all in all. Like Paul wrote in chapter 3, verse 13, I think it was, or 11. Anyways, the point is, that presence has two meanings. He's our most precious gift, and He's also the most precious item. The most important thing, the preeminence of every moment of our life. So in this message today, what we're going to do is we're going to build upon the mystery of the Holy Trinity, what we covered last week, and we're going to look at the sacred history of the Trinity. It's so important that we understand that Jesus Christ is more than the Son of God. He is literally God the Son. And unless we understand that, there's no value to this whole thing called Christianity. There truly isn't. So we're going to explore our Bibles today, and we're going to see that the Holy Trinity was, in fact, working in history. Let's go all the way back to the creation of the world, and we covered some of that last week, and we looked at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and the fact that in the beginning, Elohim, plural for God, created in a singular sense, so in a unity that we talked about, Echad, with the Hebrew word, Echad, the heaven and the earth. So God the Father created the world, and so did God the Son. And we see that in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, all things were made by Jehovah God, and all things were also made by Jesus. And that's no contradiction. It isn't. It really isn't. And then we see in Job chapter 26, verse 13, that God the Holy Spirit also was involved in creation. It says in Job 26:13, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. Praise the Lord. So God the Father made it, God the Son made it, and God the Holy Spirit made it, because we worship one God who's revealed in his creation. And then what about the author of the Bible? Who wrote this book? Well, it's from the Holy Trinity. The Bible's inspired by God the Father, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is God's book. All this book is God-breathed. But God the Son also was involved in the writing of the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 reads, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come upon you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So here in this scripture, we've got Peter telling us that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. Praise the Lord. And then we read a little further on in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Listen to this. It's so awesome how God weaves his word together. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also wrote the Bible. So we see the Trinity operating together in unity, in creation. We see the Trinity operating together in the giving of these sacred scriptures. And the Trinity was also involved in establishing the church. Yes, in establishing the church. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Listen to this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? Remember last week I said Jesus doesn't belong on anyone's list. Well, he doesn't. And on the other hand, think about it. Think about the travesty it would be to put his name on a list that begins with God the Father that we just read out of Matthew if he wasn't, in fact, co-equal with God the Father. Or putting the Holy Spirit's name on that list if the Holy Spirit wasn't co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. Just for a minute, let's remember what C.S. Lewis said last week. And I'm quoting him again. I'm trying here, and he's referring to people who say really foolish things about God, and Jesus in particular. He's saying, I'm trying to prevent these really foolish things from being said by people who don't accept Jesus as Lord and God. They'll say things like, he's a great teacher. I don't accept his claim to be God. And that's one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil himself. So you must make a choice. Either this man, that's Jesus, was and is the Son of God, and may I add, God the Son, or else a madman or something entirely worse. You can show this man Jesus to be a fool. You can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can follow to his feet and call him Lord and God. But let none of us come away with any of this patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not open to that. He truly isn't, folks. It's the old liar, lunatic, or Lord trilemma. In fact, I'm telling you, it'd be blasphemy to say baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost if the Son and the Holy Ghost were not co-equal with the Father. It truly would be. So, before we get into this message here, I just want to remind you one other thing. we covered last week, and that's Augustine, St. Augustine's seven-point description of the Trinity. And remember, it's very simple. Just go around in a triangle, Father at the top, Son in the one corner, and Holy Spirit in the other, and just work around. That's a real easy way to think of it, and just picture God in the middle. Okay? And this is just like a mnemonic, but the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the Father. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. There is one God. That's it, folks. One God in three persons. So last week we looked at this mystery, and it truly is a mystery of the Trinity. And today let's look a little further in this message now, and where I'm going to focus not only the history of the Holy Trinity, but let's look at the saving ministry of the Holy Trinity. Yes, the Holy Trinity is also working together for our salvation. Isn't this awesome how it all works? So we're gonna see how God the Father co-labors with God the Son and God the Spirit to bring about our salvation. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he, that's God the Father, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, that's Jesus. So that verse is simply saying that we're selected by the Father. We are. Isn't that awesome? And then we're saved by the Son. We saw that in verse 6 and continuing now in verse 7. In whom we have redemption, that's Jesus, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm telling you, that passage is all about Jesus. And that's the why of Christmas, you know? Jesus came to save us. So we have redemption through Jesus. And the Bible says it's the riches of his grace. Isn't this awesome? So I'm not trying to sell you salvation today, folks. I'm not. And I'm not offering you salvation on some after Christmas discount like you're going to see in all the stores this week. And I'm not offering you it on a salvation on some sort of payment plan either. I'm not. It's a sheer gift of God's grace. So we're selected by the Father, saved by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are sealed for eternity by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, and that's a down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. Isn't that awesome? So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, in Bible times, they'd take melted wax and they'd stamp an icon or an image into the wax with a seal. And they did this on official documents. In fact, the Pope still does it today. And then when the Pope dies, they smash his signet ring and they make a new one for the next Pope. So they'd use this on a letter or a proclamation or a business transaction. And they'd put this wax seal on that document. And that seal signified that the price has been paid, the ownership has been transferred, and the matter has been settled. Now praise the Lord, because that's exactly what happened when we got saved. Jesus on the cross, when he finished this most incredible work, he said, Tetelestai, it's finished, and it is. So we're selected by the Father, saved by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we're bought, sealed, and delivered, so to speak. You know, we're bought and sealed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Isn't this awesome how this works? So that's the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father working together as the Holy Trinity to bring about our salvation. So I'm telling you, if you don't believe in the Holy Trinity, forget it. There's no Christianity without the Holy Trinity. And the whole thing is just a farce and it's bogus. So if you get these Jehovah Witnesses coming to your place and they're saying things like, well, Jesus, yeah, he's a God, but it's a God with a little G. And he was created after by God the Father. And this Holy Spirit, it's like a force. It's like a prime mover. No. We got into those details last week. And I'm telling you, that is not going to be effective for your salvation if that's what you believe. And similar with the Mormons in some of these other New Age things. Some put too much emphasis on Jesus Christ and the Christ Spirit, not as Lord, but as some kind of mystic crystal Jesus, you know. You got to have a balance between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you don't realize that the Son of God is God the Son, then you're not going to get it. And that's the reason God the Father said in Hebrews 5:5, Thou art my Son, and this day I've begotten thee. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Father said unto the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, and is the scepter of thy kingdom. So what do we do? Well, that's the $64,000 question, folks. Do we wrestle with this enigma called the Holy Trinity, trying to understand it so we may believe it? No! I'm telling you, what we do is we simply believe it. And I don't mean believe in some casual sense of this word. No, I don't. So do you simply believe in this casual sense? You're just nodding your head to this whole thing? Are you just saying, well, okay. I'm telling you, if that's what you're doing, it's not enough. Think about it like this. There were three frogs on a log, and two of them decided to jump off. Well, how many frogs are left on that log then? Three were on the log, two decided to jump off. Well, everybody knows the answer to that. One. Wrong. If you thought one, you're thinking wrong. No, there's still three frogs on the log. That's the point. There were three frogs on the log, okay? And no matter what two of them may have decided, they're still on that log until they jump. That's my point. The point is, we can decide to do anything, but we've got to do something about it. That's the point. So true belief that leads to salvation isn't simply accepting some intellectual premise. You can believe in the Holy Spirit and go straight to hell. You can believe in the gospel message and go straight to hell. You can believe in this simple sense on the Holy Trinity and go straight to hell. I'm telling you, true belief is from an old English word, believe, which means to live by. So do you live by this truth? And I'm telling you, that's not just saying, well, I've decided that you're right, Broken, so I agree with you. No. You must surrender your heart to Jesus. You must say, Jesus, it's all about you. I forsake all and I trust you. Now, you may be sitting there and saying, well, you know, Broken, I know the plan of salvation, and I'm saved because I know the plan of salvation. Buzz again, folks. We're not saved by some plan of salvation. No, we're saved by the man of salvation. Amen? And his name is Jesus. So it's one thing to have an intellectual belief, and that's the point I'm trying to make to you. But it's an entirely different matter to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and to know that you know that he's the very Son of God, but more importantly, God the Son. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. We all sang those songs growing up in church, didn't we? And I'm telling you, that's what Christmas is all about. So enough of this pablum about Jesus being a great man. He is God, the very God, the mighty God, creator of it all. El Gabor, the man God, remember from last week? The mighty maker died. He died for man and our sins. So just imagine God stepping out of all of his glory and allowing himself to be spit on, abused and beaten, made according to the flesh, weak, and for a season, even a deity in diapers. God in a dirty manger. Are you getting this? No wonder the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and that's what Christmas is all about. Now, you know, we're not worthy of such love. We truly aren't. But he went on, not only did he manifest in the flesh, but then he died for us anyways. So if you'll simply surrender and trust Jesus and lift your hands up in the air and say, forsaking all, I trust him, that's Jesus, you'll be saved, saved by his saving faith. Not yours. Remember what saving faith is, and I've told you this time and time again. F-A-I-T-H. We're saved by his faith, not our faith. Read Galatians, chapter 2, verses 16 and 20. In the King James, forsaking all, I trust him. So receive him as your personal Savior and your Lord. Give him your heart, trust him, and then he will forgive every sin. Every single one, I'm telling you. He'll cleanse you as well as forgive you. And then the Holy Spirit of God will seal you for that day of redemption. And I promise you on the authority of the Word of God that this is true. Now, you may say, but what if I get saved here right now and then I sin again? Well, it's not if, it's when. I'm telling you. You will remember Jesus is our Savior. He's not a probation officer. And I'm not talking about greasy grace here, folks. And I'm not talking about some sort of, hey, you know, just say a prayer and get back to living. Now you've got a license to sin. No, 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 that's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, he'll keep you all the way to the end if you are really in on this, all in for Jesus. So if you sin, and you will, he's going to carry you to the woodshed. The Bible says whom the Father loves, he chastens. But that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation if you're truly, truly walking with the Lord, if you're truly saved. Because when you get saved, truly saved, you don't just sprout wings and get a halo. No, no, no. This salvation is a process, not an event. So we all must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And that's our sanctification. But I'm telling you, if you're truly saved and you're in this process now, he's going to keep us. And his blood will continually cleanse us and we'll be washed by his word. If, and I emphasize if, you repent with godly sorrow and not worldly sorrow. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And I did a message on this. You'd have to look back in the archives. I don't remember the number. But according to Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, you are going to be covered by his blood and sealed by the Holy Spirit because you were selected by God the Father. Now, I wish I could do this all for you. And I would if I could, but I can't. You know, but God sent me here today in this message. And maybe that little snafu at the beginning about forgiveness was meant for some of you out there listening or some one person. But this is something that you must do right now. So God sent me here to tell you that he loves you and he wants to save you. So if you want to be saved, Jesus, Son of God, who is God the Son, with his own blood, purchased your salvation. And he will save you. So he wants to save you. Just sincerely pray along with me if you want this. Just say, dear God, I need to be saved. Jesus, I know you died for me and promised to save me if I'd only trust you. So I do trust you right now, Lord Jesus. As my personal Savior, I repent of my sins. I know how disgusting and vile they are in your sight. I turn away from my sins and I turn to you. The world behind me, the cross before me, and at this very moment, I'm surrendering my heart to you, my life to you, Lord Jesus. Just put your hands up in the air and just say, I surrender all. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you pray that? Now, if you did, I want you to pray along with me by his saving faith operating in you now. Remember what it is, forsaking all your trust in him right now. So just thank him for doing this and realize it settles it all. And just pray, dear Jesus, begin now to make me the person you want me to be. And I'll live for you the rest of my life for your glory through your grace. And in your name, I pray this, Jesus. You know, folks, Merry Christmas to all of you. Merry Christmas to all of you. And this precious gift we got is Jesus. So let's just all lift our hands up with Chris Tomlin right now and thank God for saving us.
What
that's the most precious
I give
thing.
To you? What can I offer to the King for all the love you show? For all your mercy, oh. I called your name, you heard my cry, out of the grave and into life. My heart is yours, my soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Those are precious words. Praise God. Did you hear a couple of those lines in there? You gave your life upon the cross. You suffered once for all. That's what I was saying in the message. He lived and died so we could die and live. Jesus is our most precious present. And then that other line, out of the grave and into life, my heart is yours, my soul is free. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all about Jesus. We have some time here. Let's lift our hands up and let's praise Jesus. He's the way. All creation cried out with longing. Praise the Lord.
All creation cries out with longing. King of Kings.